Welcome to episode 10 of the Connected Kingdom podcast, connecting truth with life in a digital world. And welcome to this episode of the Connected Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Tim Challies, and I'm back with David Murray. After a couple weeks vacation, we had a couple of people stand in for David. We had Burt Parsons and Matt Perman, both of whom were kind enough to step in and help me out here at the microphone. But we've got David back. David, how was your time in Scotland?
It was great, Tim. It's good to go back and see family. The place is not such a big thing to me today, but you know, to see your mum and dad and my in-laws as well, who are, you know, getting into their 80s. You're never sure when you might see them again or might not.
Yeah, so it
was really good to renew relationships there. But I must say, the more I go back to Scotland, the more I feel at home in the USA.
Well, that's good to hear.
And actually, just as we came back, we received our green cards, which give us permanent residence here as well.
Oh, great. Is that something you're supposed to say congratulations to? I'm not sure what protocol is here.
I think so. Everyone else seems to be, so you can do it as well.
Well, congratulations then. I was down in the States as well, taking a little bit of vacation after speaking at the Ligonier Conference. So since our last podcast, I've been in Florida, then I've been up in Northern Ontario to do a men's conference this weekend to speak there. You've been in Scotland and you've been in Canada as well.
Back to Canada again, Tim. Yes, I seem to spend half my time there at the moment, but I was preaching yesterday in Fenwick, which is near the Niagara Falls, and came back home and received a split windscreen from a stone on the way back. So
it's a little parting gift from Canada.
Yeah.
Good. We're glad to leave you that way. So we want to talk about vacation today. Since summer is here, my children just brought the report cards home today. Tomorrow's their last day of school. I know Canadians get off about a month after Americans and don't go back until after Labor Day. So vacation is upon us. We'll be heading out soon to the United States for our vacation, actually. And it seems like a timely topic to talk about how we can do vacations for the glory of God. Now, you said you had something, an article you wanted to start us out with.
Yes, Tim, I read an article recently in the Wall Street Journal called Why Relaxing is Hard Work. And some of the statistics in it are, shall we say, scary. Only 53% of working Americans say they come back feeling rested and rejuvenated after vacation. 30% say they have trouble coping with work stress while they're away. Others stay so plugged on to BlackBerries and cell phones that colleagues and clients don't even suspect they're away. Some 3% of the population suffers from leisure sickness when they go on vacation. You ever heard of that, Tim?
I never have. Tell me what it's all about.
Symptoms include fatigue, muscle pain, nausea, and flu-like symptoms.
Wow. Could that also be known as traveler's stomach, maybe?
Yeah. It says, for some people, the withdrawal of stress can be similar to withdrawing from steroids, including changes in glucose, metabolism, and dramatic mood swings.
Wow. So does that mean we're working too hard and relaxing too little?
I think it looks like that. And it looks like some people are, well, as this article points out, almost addicted to the adrenaline rush that they get from stress. And so when they withdraw from it, they get withdrawal symptoms.
Wow.
Yeah, they're working too hard, really, to disengage when they want to.
Well, maybe that goes back a little bit to what we talked about with Matt last week, where he talked to, or 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, where we talked about productivity being an idol, being a god in a person's life. And if you're always productive, you're always performing hard, always working to achieve your goals, then maybe you do find yourself getting addicted to that rush and addicted to the finality of finishing a project or the glow that comes with finishing a project.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening both to Burke, Parsons and Matt in the podcast when I was away. I like a lot of what Matt says and writes on his blog, and I think he's really working hard there, you know, trying to get the right balance between being productive and efficient and yet, you know, in a Christ-centered, God-glorifying way that allows time to relax and enjoy life as well. What percentage of the population do you think can be classified as workaholic?
I think it would depend on your context. If people are looking at us from certain parts of the world, I think they would say 100% of North Americans are workaholics. And if you
Okay.
go to a place like Korea, they might say that none of us are workaholics. So I really think it
Okay,
depends
yeah.
on your perspective. I spoke to a guy a little while ago who was from Korea, and he said he came to Canada because he couldn't keep up the pace anymore. He had to work 6 or 7 days a week with only 3 or 4 days off a year, 3 or 4 holidays a year, and 1 week's vacation, and he was just getting absolutely burned out. His wife was expected to work the same, and that was just to keep up in the rat race. So,
Yeah.
and yet you go to some countries elsewhere in the world, I won't mention them, where there's very little work going on. Some of the
Yeah, no,
European
no.
countries where they have 30 or 35-hour work weeks and mandated 4 weeks vacation, and they would look at us and think we're crazy. So it does depend somewhat on perspective, but I do think we're working very hard. And maybe it's not just the 40 or 50 hours we work, but that in the other time, we're still engaged. We're still in the
No.
rat race with our Crackberries and our email and everything else.
I think somebody put it like this: the hard worker in the office is dreaming about being on the ski slope. The workaholic is on the ski slope dreaming about being in the office.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? And even when I was up north this week, we were just barely on the edge of reception. And yet, as long as I have reception on my iPhone, I feel like I need to be checking my email. And there really is that demand from outside society where a family or church or neighbors or whoever you're in touch with just expects that you'll be in touch all the time. And I noticed a couple of times I decided not to respond because really, my connectivity was touch and go, and people are starting to get offended that I hadn't responded within 12 or
Oh,
24
really?
hours.
Yeah.
And so it's not just that we personally feel we need to stay in touch, but people demand that we be in touch and get insulted or get otherwise angry when we're not.
Yeah, it's I mean, people call that kind of use of the cell phone and email when they're away on holiday preventative stress measures. The idea is that, you know, they're preventing the buildup of stress when they come back from their vacation. But you know, I think it's very hard to do that and properly switch off.
All right. Well, let's assume then that we are switching off, that we're going to go on away on a vacation. We realize the importance of trying to escape, leave the cell phone behind, go somewhere outside of internet access, leave your laptop, do whatever you need to do to disengage and disconnect from the regular stresses, the regular connectivity and communication day to day. So why don't we talk just briefly about what it means to have a good vacation, and especially as men, how we can lead a good vacation. What thoughts do you have on that? And I know we've both looked at an article or a series of articles by CJ Mahaney in which he's suggested a father's role in leading vacation.
Yeah, if anybody wants to find that article, it's called Leadership and Family Vacations by CJ Mahaney. And a lot of very helpful material on in here. I think it certainly addresses the problem of, you know, father taking family away and then father just basically switching off from the family and viewing it as a vacation from the family as well. But I think as I read it, I just wonder if CJ Mahaney's just gone a bit far in that it almost seems as if the father's not meant to get any vacation whatsoever. Was that your kind of impression, Tim?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's suggesting, and I almost hope that he's speaking in hyperbole. But
Okay.
as you read the article, you certainly do get that perspective where he says essentially that dad should come back from vacation more worn out, more tired than after a long, long day at work. And the dad's job then is to be on throughout the vacation, to be constantly working to ensure that his wife and his children have a good and relaxing vacation. And I have some concern with the article as well. I believe that there's real value there. And I think that the greatest value is just the whole, even just the title, that dad has to continue to lead the family through vacation. That this isn't a time for dad to abscond from leadership. It's not a time to disconnect from the family. Now you're still leader, so you still have to, if the family's going to have a good vacation, chances are you're going to need to lead that. But where my concern comes in is in this idea that dad almost has to entertain the family throughout the vacation, or they're going to have a rotten time. And if dad comes back more burned out than ever, it's maybe the easy answer is to say God will provide, God will take care of that. But I think the more realistic answer is to say that no, dad needs some downtime too. And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with the kids seeing dad kicking back in a hammock with a book for a couple of days.
Yeah, well, Some of my happiest memories of childhood are my family holidays. And when I think back on them, we went to the same place year after year after year after year. And my abiding memory is of my mum and dad sitting on two deck chairs for 2 weeks and moving only for essential services, shall we say.
Sure.
And yet, these were the greatest times of my life. I didn't expect my dad to be entertainer in chief. He was there. And I think, he was watching. He was enjoying watching his kids play, and he just didn't really feel the need to be joker in chief, entertainer in chief, and so on. But having said that, what you said, that the title is great. If you look at some of the subtitles on CJ's article, again, some very helpful themes there: a servant heart, a tone-setting attitude, an awareness of indwelling sin, studying your family, skillful surprises, intentionally together, and gratefulness to God. I think everyone could take these headings and exegete them a bit differently from how C.J. Mahaney did.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case, that if you get those big picture ideas and build upon them in a style that's consistent with your family and in a way that still leaves room for dad, I think you're doing well. And again, I just don't think a family is served by dad burning himself out, by dad working so hard that he doesn't have any time to relax. I know just from my own parents, my own family, even my own wife, how important it is to have those downtimes. And if you're not going to have them on vacation, I don't know when else you would have them. So I think one thing a father could do and work with his wife is find a place they can go where they can relax and the children can still have a good time. So you don't want to go somewhere where mom and dad are having a great time and the children are bored.
Sure.
But go somewhere where even if mom and dad are bored, the children are having a great time. And boredom is, I think, a lost art and something that's really good for us to sit around and have nothing to do. So last year we went to a camp or a Bible camp near here. And it was great because Aileen and I could sit around quite a bit, visit with friends, just kick back, and the kids had the best time of their life. They got
Excellent.
On their bikes and biked around the ground and went to the tuck shop and jumped on the trampoline and went swimming and did all these wonderful things they were able to do. And we were able to, we were proactive in going there, but then able to relax while
great
we were there.
Time.
And it really worked out well, and it was a great vacation for all of us.
Yep, I think that, as you describe that, I'm thinking I need that vacation right now. When I read through C.J. Mahaney's article, I don't know him actually, but from what I've seen, he seems like an extremely energetic person, and I think he's got good principles here, but his application is maybe in his own image, suits his own personality, and I suppose that's something that we all have to be careful for, not making our own personality the norm and the rule for others.
Yeah, it may well be. And I think discernment in this case, as we think about it, apply it to our own lives. I think discernment tells us to try and weed out what's person and what's law and what's gospel, what's just his preference and what's really wise for all of us. So again, I would commend the article to people. I think there's a lot of value there. I don't know really of too much else like it. So I think it's really about the best you'll do. Read it, but just be a little bit careful in not applying it too strictly and not feeling that you'll somehow be dishonoring God if you don't follow it to the letter. Again, if you go on Google and do a search for it, look for Leadership and Family Vacations by C.J. Mahaney, you'll pull it up. It's available in a series of blog posts or even just as a single PDF. So again, I commend it, but I think there's some skill in just taking the best principles out of that one.
Okay, Tim, so let's make our own vacation guide on the hoof for
right.
those who are listening to this. I was thinking through a few things, see if you can add to them or if you would challenge me on them. I think one of the things I try and do in my own devotions on vacation is vary it from what I normally do, just to get a change and sort of break the routine. I find that helps me spiritually, and I don't feel so much, an obligation to read so much and get through my Bible reading plan. And I find the variety helps me to just cultivate maybe other areas of my spiritual life. What do you do?
Yeah, I would do roughly the same. I tend to simplify all of life, and that's often because I don't have resources available to me that I'd otherwise have when I'm out of the house. So definitely try something different. It's a good time to try a new style of devotions if there's something you've been wanting to try. I think the most important thing is to keep doing your devotions. It's very easy to leave your Bible behind and at least to intend to read it and not to. And I know I've been guilty of that many times where when it comes down to it, everything's disrupted. I'm not getting up at the same time and I don't have the same chair to kick back in, and life is just very different. So it's easy to let devotions go. But I think there's great value in continuing it for your own heart, and to see that, to have your children, even your wife, see you continuing your devotions. I think there's real value in that. And it's an important thing for a father, especially, to keep doing.
I think it leads into the next area of my own practice, and that is I like to sample different churches when I'm away. We must keep going and, you know, keep that 1 in 7 routine, but I want to just move out of my comfort zone now and again, and maybe visit some churches that I wouldn't normally go to, and meet Christians I might not normally meet and learn from different traditions and different styles of preaching and things like that. What do you do? Do you go to different churches, Tim?
We tend to. Sometimes we've gone to places where there's a church service there. Sometimes we will do something by ourselves at home, listen to a sermon and read the Bible and pray and even sing together. That's what we did when I was a child as well. Sometimes we would go to a church. There wasn't really anything that was even halfway decent near us often,
right,
so we would have to do something on our own. And I think there's freedom to do some of that. I do agree it's nice to go to different churches, and I'm not even opposed to occasionally going to a church that really isn't very good. I think that can be a very good experience for the children to, I'm not saying go to an outright bad church, but to go to a church where you can talk about it with your children afterward and say, well, what did you think of this? What did you think of that? And if they're very accustomed to one kind of church and very accustomed to one style of worship, one way of doing things, I think there can be great value in allowing them to experience something else and then talking it over with them.
Yeah. What do you do reading-wise? I like to, I don't actually read an awful lot of spiritual or Christian books when I go on vacation. I like to sort of widen it a bit. This vacation, I sort of overdosed on conservative Republican books. I finished Carol Rove's biography. I finished Laura Bush's biography. And I read, what's it called, An Army of One, which was a biography of Rush Limbaugh.
You really are becoming American.
It was actually more, you know, you get inundated with all the negatives of these people via the media, and I just want to hear, you know, what's their side of the story. And it was fascinating, you know, to see, you know, do different ways of looking at the same event. And I found especially Laura Bush's biography very helpful, very interesting, very insightful into the role of the First Lady. Carol Rove's is, well, just way too defensive. It's, you know, clearing himself of all these allegations. That wasn't enjoyable reading at all.
Yeah,
what do you read?
I tend to also focus on books that are outside the Christian world. I tend to find Al Mohler's reading list every summer, and I like to cherry pick at least half of that list. I usually read, he tends to put 10 books out, and I tend to read either all of them or close to all of them over the summer. I just, his interests and mine, his loves and mine are very, very similar. So this year I've already bought 5 of them. I've read 2.5, and I'm on the way through the others. And on vacation, I'll be taking some of those. And they tend to deal with World War II or historical biography and things of that nature. So lighter reading, and reading that it doesn't really matter ever if I remember it. I can just read it and enjoy it and move on. One thing I will be doing this later this year is providing a couple of short biographies at our church. So I'll probably be reading about some of those figures as well.
Okay. One piece of advice I got from Joel Beakey, and I've tried to do it, not always successfully, but that is spend one-on-one time with your kids, not just you with all the kids, but take some time out with each of your kids separately.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I was just talking to my pastor about that today, and he was saying that he thinks some of his kids' greatest memories are just these silly little things you do. It's not going to Disney World. It's going somewhere on a bike together and buying an ice cream cone, and that's what sticks in the child's mind. So that's my memory as a kid as well, going out in the boat with my dad to go fishing at 5:30, some ridiculous hour in the morning. And and those are the things that have stuck with me, and I know will stick with my children. This year we're vacationing with my family and all of my brothers and sisters, and my parents and my wife's parents were all meeting up at the same time down in Virginia. So I'm looking forward to spending time with my children, but I'm also looking forward to really trying to get to know my nieces and nephews. I see them very seldom, and they're just kind of getting to the age now. Some of them are 7, 8 years old, and just really looking forward to getting to know them and spending some one-on-one time with them as well, I hope.
Yeah. Do you try and exercise when you're on holiday?
It wouldn't be a holiday if I did.
I find myself, if I don't exercise, I just vegetate.
We'll go for, I don't do any serious exercise. I do enjoy going for a stroll, or if there's a canoe or a kayak or something, I'll go out in that. I like to Well, I don't like to, but my kids demand that I get in the water with them. So I'll do some of that as well. When we were in Florida, I spent a surprising amount of time submerged in water, which for me
Oh,
is
yeah.
quite a stretch, but I enjoyed playing with the kids. So yeah, we get some exercise. I have spent vacations pretty much just a week in a hammock, and I did not feel right at the end of it, so it was not a good sight.
I can't remember where I read this. It might have been in C.J. Mahaney's article, but I thought it was good advice anyway. Protect your wife from just doing the same thing in a different place. Because, it's so easy. We just move, to a cottage or something, and your wife ends up doing all the shopping, all the cooking, all the washing, and not much for holiday.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great word. And it may well have been CJ. I think there's a lot of value in trying to get your wife out of her routine and taking over some of her routine and offloading some of it to the children. Just really trying to be deliberate about making sure she gets a vacation too, because somebody's still going to have to make dinner. Somebody's still going to have to keep the house up. And if you're not intentional about it, it will default back to her.
I remember when I was teaching the class in the seminary on the ministry, we had a number of students from Malawi in the class, and we got onto the subject of vacations, and I was feeling increasingly guilty, but talking about pastors going on vacation. I was looking at these men thinking, and they probably I've never had a vacation in their lives, and here's us talking about should we spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and so on. And eventually, I turned to them and said, "You probably think this is very decadent," and they all laughed their heads off. Their congregations pay them for 4 weeks vacation at the lake every year, all expenses paid.
That sounds all right.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's interesting. You think of Africa and a bit more laid back, and yet they see the need for really solid vacation time.
Sure. Yeah, I think there's some value there. I think in our culture we'd look askance at any pastor that demanded such a thing or even desired such a thing, but again, such is the difference between cultures.
I remember in seminary, a book I read, I think it was Derek Prime, something about shepherds, and in it he said that he invested 10% of his income every year on vacations and counted it money always well spent. I almost felt that was just a bit high. I take his point, that it does help you for the rest of the year. What do you think, 10%?
I guess it depends on what you want to do for your vacation. That certainly sounds high to me. I think there's some great, very cheap, simple, fun vacations you can do. One thing I do warn against, if possible, this word staycation has come into the lexicon. One of the worst words I think we've ever coined, but I understand in tough economic times, more and more people are staying at home. I think that was more viable in the day before the internet. If you're going to stay at home now, I almost think you need to unplug
I
your
know.
router or something and unplug the TV and just, if you're not going away, you have to make a way come to you. And that means you need to get away from the technology. You need to get away from the day-to-day buzzing and beeping and everything else. So I would, if possible, do save up money and go somewhere and do something and consider going somewhere outside of internet range, outside of cell phone range. Just get right away.
Well, this year for the first time, I put an out of office message on my email and it said that I'm not replying to any email while away. If it's important enough, send another one to me after 18th of June when I get back. And it certainly helped. I can't say I never looked at my email, but it certainly alleviated the pressure I felt, to be responding to people, not letting them down.
Yeah, when you put a message like that out there, it means you don't have to feel the obligation to respond. People will get that auto reply and say, okay, he's gone. I'm not expecting a reply. Therefore, hopefully, they won't get so insulted. Now, one thing I want to cover before our time runs out here is something that I think can happen on vacations where when we move away from what's regular in our lives, we move away from our regular patterns, our regular relationships. Maybe we're not going to church quite as often or in the same place. Maybe we're not doing our accountability relationships if we have such a thing in our life. I think we can often find it easy to sin on vacation, very easy to sin. And I think maybe Satan realizes these are special times as well and increases his attacks on us. So, one thing I do want people to hear is that while you're on vacation, double down in your efforts to fight sin. Don't allow yourself to think, well, if I sin in, Washington, or I sin in Virginia, or I sin far from home, it's really not the same as a sin at home. Or if I don't, I'm not going to be talking to my pastor or my accountability partner for a couple of weeks, and by then I won't even have to mention this to him. So the heart is very deceptive. The heart is very deceitful. Be very careful when you're on vacation that you continue the fight against sin. And that's, we've already said, don't let your vacations go, or sorry, don't let your devotions go. I think that's a great word. Be very careful to keep up in prayer. Be careful to even ask people who tend to keep watch on your soul for you, ask them to ask how you've done. Say, when I get back, I want you to ask me, did I commit this sin that I'm prone to commit? Or was I tempted this way? I think there's great value in that. Don't allow yourself to take a vacation from sanctification, from your constant fight against sin.
Yes, Tim, I think it's an excellent point. For myself, I judge the success of a vacation on this criteria. Do I come back feeling closer communion with the Lord? Have I cultivated in the space and time that I've had on vacation, more than normal work weeks, have I sought to draw near to Him, know Him, feel His presence? I want to really cultivate that sense of the presence of God. And if I come back and I feel distant, colder, then I'm afraid that vacation has been a disaster.
Sure.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and in our vacations, we're getting just this little glimpse, I think, in our rest, we're getting a glimpse of the greater rest. So certainly we should come back having a greater sense of God's presence, having a greater knowledge of Him or greater appreciation of Him than we did when we left. I sure hope that we're seeing just that glimpse of rest, of eternal rest in our temporal rest.
Yeah, there's one last thing, Tim, I would really urge people, and that is keep a watch on your expenses.
Yeah.
It's so easy to dishonor God in coming back with huge credit card debts, and you know, maybe your daily watchfulness over your accounts and your spending habits falls by the board. You don't realize how much you're spending. You get back, you're hit with this huge bill that is not honoring to God. And although it takes effort and time, I think it's really important to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on your expenses and know when to say no. And you don't need to spend a ton of money to have a great vacation. We've oftentimes done very inexpensive vacations that have been very good and very restful. And I think as I look back to CJ's article here, his final subheading is gratefulness to God. So there's something I want to emphasize on my vacation this year is gratefulness to God. Throughout, just thanking Him for the spot we can go to, for the money to enjoy it, the family to enjoy it with, all of these things. And hopefully that will be something my children, my wife, myself, we all bring back with us at the end, that we're grateful to God for the time we've been able to spend just away from the everyday.
It's such a gift, Tim, isn't it? I went out with my boys on a couple of fishing expeditions in Scotland. We trudged a couple of hours into the middle of nowhere and just in the middle of mountains that probably no one's in for years on end. And you do feel a sense of tremendous gratitude, especially when you think of the multitudes who are not, just don't have such privileges. In fact, even here locally, a lovely Christian family beside us, neighbours and friends in church, their 4.5-year-old daughter was diagnosed with leukemia on Friday and has already started chemotherapy. And it puts vacations in perspective, doesn't it?
It does indeed, yep. Good, good. Well, as we talk about vacation, I'm getting eager to go on my vacation, which is coming up. We'll have at least one more opportunity to do a show, I hope, before then. And, we'll decide what we're going to talk about then. But if you're listening to this show and you'd like to interact with us, again, we're always eager for feedback. We got some fantastic feedback from one of our listeners this week, for which we were very grateful. And I think we're eager for more. So do let us know what you're enjoying in the show, what we need to do more of, what we need to do less of. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Connected Kingdom. You'll find us there. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks again, David.
Thanks, Tim. Bye.
I sit alone in a blue cafe and I'm watching all the passerbys pass my way.